If you've got your Bible there at home tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, tonight in the New Testament scriptures. Again, we want to thank you for joining us tonight for these services on the internet. I know it's not like being there, but you know what? We just praise the Lord that we can have these services tonight in the midst of this pestilent situation with COVID. And nobody likes to be sick. And no child of God really likes to miss out on being in the house of God. But we thank the Lord that we have this opportunity to be able to have these services through the internet. I want you to look tonight at the book of Acts. We're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter number 8 tonight. Acts chapter number 8. We're going to be looking at a passage of scripture tonight. I hope it will be a strength and a blessing to you tonight. And I want it to be a help to you. I want to be an encouragement to you tonight through the Word of God. It always thrills my heart to be able to stand and preach to folks and tell them about what Christ can do for them and what He's done for us. And we need to be thankful for that. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. And you know, Christmas is one of those, it's one of those holidays that we can celebrate all year long. You don't have to just celebrate it one day in the year. Christmas is a season when we can tell everybody about what Christ came to do for us. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I know that you are as well. The New Testament book of Acts chapter number 8 tonight. We're going to be looking at something here. I want it to be a help to you. As you already know, the book of Acts is a great book of transition and changes from the old to the new. And there in this book, as we've seen through the years as pastors preached to us and as we've studied in Sunday school and different passages of time, we've studied how that after our Lord's death upon the cross of Calvary and upon His burial and bodily resurrection, then He went back up into heaven. But beginning here in the very first chapter, let's just go back to chapter number 1 just a moment. Acts chapter 1, here in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. The Bible said here that after Jesus arose again, He spent several days with His disciples, 40 days He spent with them. And here the writer of the book of Acts, Brother Luke, he writes here, beginning in verse number 1, he writes these words. He says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after the passion, after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and preaching of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Then going down to verse number 8, we see how our Lord Jesus gave these disciples His great and final commission before He ascended back up into heaven. And here He said unto them, He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now these disciples of Christ, they were close followers of all of His teachings. They had been with Him for some 3.5 years while He was here on this earth. And they were now to take the message of God's great love and mercy to sinful men to all the world. And they were to go to all the world, beginning right where they were, there in Jerusalem. And then as they went from Jerusalem, they would go to their surrounding areas, to Judea, Samaria, and ultimately unto all the uttermost parts of the earth. And thank God for that, because that included you and that included me here in America and all the other lands. These disciples were given a commission, but the situation was they could not do this in their own power. They were not able to do this. They were not able to take on such a mammoth task as trying to get the gospel out. They were afraid. They were fearful. They were worried about what had happened to Jesus may happen to them. And they were gathered there together in that upper room, and they were waiting for the power of God to come upon their lives, to fill them, to endue them with great power so that they might be the witnesses for God that He had commanded them to be. And you know, all throughout this great book, we see how God does miracle after miracle so that all men everywhere could be able to see and know and believe the soul-saving message that these disciples were going to bring to them. They could see that the gospel was real, and they could see that it was worth sharing with everybody that they met. And time and time again, as we read through this great book of the New Testament, we see how that literally hundreds, thousands, and even crowds without number, called multitudes, came to not only hear the message of the gospel, but they believed it and they received it into their own hearts and lives. And it made an impact upon their life that has changed the world ever since that day. And tonight, I want us to look at, through our Bible study, some of these great miracles of faith and love. And I want us to use one chapter in particular tonight, and that being here in chapter number 8. As we turn back over to the book of Acts, chapter number 8, I want us to look at this message tonight, and I want to entitle the message tonight as we finish out the Christmas season and we enter into the realm of a new year, 2022. I want us to look at this message tonight, and I've entitled it A Year of Transition. A Year of Transition. As we see here in Acts chapter number 8, verses 1 through 8, the Bible said, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." Now, this is speaking about the death of Stephen. Stephen, the first martyr. In Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, we read about how that God used this man to preach the message of the gospel to the Jewish people. But as he preached the gospel to the people there, boy, they didn't like it. And they turned on him. They picked up stones and they stoned Stephen literally to death. And there as Stephen looked up into heaven and saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of the throne of God, those stones took Stephen out of this world and gave him entrance into eternity there with the Savior whom he loved and whom he had served for so long. And there was in the crowd of those Jewish leaders standing there throwing the stones at Stephen, there was a young man named Saul of Tarsus. And he stood there, the Bible said, holding the coats of those who had stoned the martyr Stephen, the servant of God. They had stoned him to death. And Saul was consenting. In other words, he agreed with everything that had gone on. He agreed with the actions that had been taken against this man of God named Stephen. He agreed with the violence and the temper of these Jewish leaders that had so quickly and so violently come upon Stephen and gnashed upon him with their teeth. And they threw rocks and stones on him and dragged him out of the city and there killed the man of God. The Bible said here in Acts chapter 8, beginning of verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. This is where it all began, folks. And this is where the devil started even more persecution than had ever been put upon the disciples of Christ. The Bible said that when this persecution came to the church there at Jerusalem, the Bible said they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, what happened? The disciples, those folks that had been following after Christ, those folks that had heard the message of the gospel, were living in Jerusalem. They were scattered out to Judea and to Samaria. Now, this is exactly what Jesus had told them would happen, that they were to take the gospel, first of all, to Jerusalem, and then into Judea and Samaria, and ultimately unto all the world. And so through the persecution, they were actually fulfilling the commandment of what Jesus had given them to do. And so as we read here, the Bible said, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Boy, the zeal of that early church. Boy, you could not do away with it. You could not cause them to stop. Everywhere they went, they kept on telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a lot like that in our day to day, is it? It seemed like, boy, folks get offended today at the least little thing. And boy, folks get offended because the preacher doesn't shake their hand, or somebody looks at them a different way, or somebody slammed the door at their face, or whatever. And folks, that's not the way it ought to be. We ought to take every opportunity that we have, even during this COVID situation, to get the gospel to anybody and everybody everywhere. I know when I go to the gas station a lot, I always take a pocket full of tracts with me, and I mark on there, "Watch our services live over the internet." And I'll underline the internet thing, address there, and I'll stick it in the gas handle there as I'm finishing up loading up with gas. And even when you go to the grocery store, you can let folks know, listen, these are our service times. And though we're not able to be here right now, you can still watch live. You can listen to the Sunday school hour. You can be a part of the services even during this critical time when it seemed like, boy, everybody is being shut out of being able to come to church. And here we're reminded that with great responsibility, there also came great times of persecution. And folks, there are going to be times of persecution. I believe in this new year coming up, we're going to see a lot more of that coming. Our pastor has told us about this. And I think that we're going to see a lot of persecution coming to those who know Christ as their Savior in the days to come. These early church Christians came to understand the fact that persecution was just a way of living when you lived for Jesus. And folks, today we need to understand that if we stand and we teach the truth of the Word of God, boy, the devil is not going to like that. He's going to try to do everything that he can possibly do to cause us to stop serving the Lord, to stop reading our Bible, to stop taking time to pray. But folks, tonight, even with this prayer list tonight, it ought to give us a new desire, a new zeal to pray for one another, to lift one another up in prayer, to make those phone calls and encourage other people in the power of the Word of God. You and I have been so blessed by God here in America to not have to suffer a lot of persecution as these dear folks had to suffer in the early church age. But folks, I'm telling you, it's going to come. And the question is, how are you going to respond? What are you going to do when the persecution comes? What transition is going to happen in your life? So many times we're sitting at ease in Zion and we forget that Jesus told us that if the world hated him, they're going to hate us as well. So we need to look at this tonight. And here in Acts chapter 8, verse number 3, we read how that Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. But to God be the glory, whatever these early Christians faced, it did not stop them from going out and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to me tonight, folks, because they were faithful to give out the gospel, even in the face of persecution, you and I tonight have this old book that we call the Bible. We have it given to us, and we have it to be able to read and to hide in our hearts that we might not sin against God. We've heard the gospel because those men, those women of old stood faithful during times of persecution during times of suffering, and they stayed faithful to do that which God had saved them to do. I thank God for that tonight. And listen, I wonder tonight, how many down the road in the generations to come will be able to come to Christ because you and I stayed faithful during the persecutions, during those times when it would be easy to just throw in the towel and quit and stop going to church, stop reading our Bible, stop passing out gospel tracts, stop telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to stay found, we need to be found faithful to stay doing what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, even as these dear folks did. The Bible said here in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And look at this last sentence. And there was great joy in that city. Amen. There's always great joy when Christ comes on the scene. There's always great joy when the gospel is preached and believed and received by those who are lost and see their need of a Savior. Thank God for that. But there was great joy in my heart and my life back on March the 28th, 1975, when as a 15 and a half year old young man, I bowed on my knees in that back bedroom and I asked the Lord God to forgive me my sin, to come into my heart and to save me. And you know what? That's exactly what he did. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. But when I got to thinking about my friends I went to school with, and I got to thinking about different ones around me, I didn't want anybody to die and go to hell. And it was like God just gave me a dose of the can't help it. And I just wanted to go and tell everybody about what Christ had done for me. Many of those friends that I grew up with trusted Christ as their Savior. Many rejected Christ, but each made their own decision. But I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share from the joy that was in my heart what Christ could do for them. There was great joy in that day when they heard the message of the gospel. And as Philip was found faithful to preach the word of God wherever the Lord sent him to preach it, there were other people that God knew about that needed to hear the message that Philip and the other disciples did not yet know of. And as you read here in these verses, if you'll go down to verse number 26, I want you to see tonight how that the call is given to Brother Philip. Now look at it with me here in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 26. The Bible talks about how that the call is given unto this faithful servant of God named Philip. And he is to leave the place of blessing. He's to leave where they're preaching and seeing all these souls being saved and great joy in the city. God wants him to leave that place and he wants to send him to a place in the desert. Now you look at this tonight. Notice here that the call was given to Philip in two parts. Read verse 26 with me. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, or Gaza, which is desert. Now notice here that the call was given to Philip in two parts. Number one, God said, Philip, get up, arise, get up from where you're at. Stand up, get up where you're at, arise. And number two, I want you to go. I want you to go. That's what you and I have to do today. We're to get up from where we are. We're to get up from our seat of comfort and just relaxation and go to where the people are that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at where God sent him. The Bible said here he sent him to the desert. Now, nobody wants to go to the desert. I remember when we were in Israel back in 2014, There was an area there that was just desert, and I mean it was desolate. There was nothing there, old scrub bushes and all kinds of just dirt and rocks. There was nothing worth looking forward to being in the desert. And I'm sure that nobody would ever want to go there and try to set up a church. But God knew something that Philip did not know. God knew something that all the other disciples did not know. There was somebody there that needed a Savior. And so God sent Philip toward the south unto the place that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. That's where God called Philip to go. Notice here, the call was given. But then I want you to look in verses 27 through 31. 27 through 31, and you're going to see here where the call is answered. It's answered. The call is answered. Look at these verses with me and see what happened. Verse 27, in faithful trust and obedience unto the Lord, the Bible said, and he, talking about Philip, and he arose and went. Amen. He arose, he got up, and he went. He trusted and obeyed the Lord. Thank God for folks who will not question God and look at God and say, but God, why do you want me to go out there? It's too hot. I'll get thirsty. My clothes will get dirty. I'll sweat. I'll stink. God, surely there's somebody else that could go there. Philip didn't do that. Philip did exactly what the Lord asked him to do. And he answered the call and he went. Thank God for a man that would be willing to do something like that. And then we see the reason here that God sent Philip to where he sent him in verses 27 and 28. Look what the Bible said. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And notice here in verse 29 what God tells Philip to do. Look what he said. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. In the desert, you're going to go out to the desert. You're going to see a chariot speeding down the desert road. And God, you want me to run down there and join up with that chariot? Philip said, yep, Lord, I'll go. And that's exactly what he did. And look at what the Bible said in verses 30 and 31. Here, the answer or the call was not just given. It was not just answered, but the reason is given for the call. Look at it. The reason is given, verse 30 and 31. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Here was one single Ethiopian man driving through the desert, coming from Jerusalem back to his home in Ethiopia. He had no doubt seen what had happened. He had no doubt heard about all the preaching and the gospel being given out. He had seen the lives that were being changed. No doubt he had probably seen those 3,000 that had been baptized, and then the 5,000 that followed the Lord and trusted Christ and were later baptized. He had probably seen all of these things going on. And he got him a copy of the Word of God. And he said, man, whatever these folks got, I want it too. But when he got to reading the Word of God, he did not understand. Look what the Bible said. The reason here was given to Philip. Philip, there's a man here that's got a copy of the Word of God, but he doesn't understand it. And look what the Bible said here in verses 32 and 33, that the gospel was read. You listen to me today. When you read the Word of God is going to do something for you. Amen. If you're lost, it's going to convict you of your sin. If you're saved, it's going to encourage you. It's going to strengthen you. And yes, even sometimes it will chasten and reprove your heart as you read it so that we can stay close to service for the Lord. But here in verses 32 and 33, the Bible said, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now notice here, the facts are given. The Word of God tells about what Jesus came to do. And notice here, folks, this was in the Old Testament. This was in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 specifically. It was in the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament book, that this man was reading. He read the facts, but the facts were not understood. This man did not understand. He did not understand. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. He needed somebody like you, like me, like Philip, to go to him and to preach unto him and to teach him what the Word of God was saying. And so God said, Philip, I've got a job for you. I've got a call. I want you to answer it. Philip answered that call. He answered it. The reason was given to Philip. The gospel was read by this dear man. And then the question was asked. Look at it. Number four, the question was asked by this Ethiopian eunuch. He asked Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Now, there's two questions that plagued the heart of this dear Ethiopian eunuch. He had been traveling all this distance, reading these scriptures, trying to figure out in his lost, sinful mind what the Word of God was trying to teach them here. And the two questions that plagued the heart of this dear man and which needed an answer that only God could reveal were here in verse number 35, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who's the prophet of God speaking about? Is it of himself or is it of some other man? And boy, what a question to ask a preacher, amen, who that the scriptures are talking about. Because the Bible said here, point number five, that the answer is given. The answer, the question is asked, but the answer is given by the preacher, the declarer of the gospel. That was Philip. And the Bible said here in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. You say, but preacher, there's no place in the Old Testament scriptures that talks about Jesus. Honey, if you've been watching the services, if you've been here in church, you have heard our pastor preaching from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, how that Jesus is preached on every page. The gospel is given throughout both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And here, Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now notice here, Philip gave unto him the scriptures. The scriptures. It was not what Philip thought was what he needed to hear. It wasn't what the preachers back in Jerusalem thought they needed to hear. No, he gave unto them the answer from the Word of God. Folks, you may be looking for answers today. You may be watching this broadcast and you don't know the reason for the season of Christmas. You don't know the Christ of Christmas. I saw a church here locally with a sign on their front bulletin board area talking about Xmas. And I thought to myself, why would any church want to put something like that on their billboard, Xmas? Why take out Christ? I think it may be because somebody there does not know the Christ of Christmas. And you know what happened here? Philip preached the truth of God's Word to this dear man. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, this is what our world needs today. It needs the gospel. And Peter opened his mouth and he preached unto him the gospel. Do you remember over in the book of Acts chapter 16? A few chapters up from where we're at now. When Paul and Silas were thrown in prison for preaching the word of God, they were beaten. And men, they were stripped naked and thrown into the deepest, darkest part of the dungeon jail cells that they could be thrown into. And the guard was given the charge that if you let them go, then you die. And that night they began to sing praises unto God about midnight. And the other prisoners heard them singing. They knew there was something different about these men. And God sent a great earthquake. And that great earthquake tore down all the walls. It opened up the jail cells. And the mighty hand of God reached down and broke the fetters and the chains right off the stocks, the bonds, everything off of Paul and Silas. And when the guard woke up and he saw all that was going on, he took a light. And he sprang into that jail cell and he fell down in front of Paul and Silas. And the Bible said that he brought them out. Here in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 32, the Bible said that he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And listen to this. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." Folks, they, just like Philip here, they preached Jesus. Amen. They used the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, and they preached unto them Jesus. And here, when this Ethiopian eunuch asked who the Scriptures were speaking of, as he read in this book of Isaiah chapter 53, Philip preached unto him Jesus. Now I want you to turn with me just a moment. You can hold your place here in the book of Acts chapter 8. But I want you to turn back to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. You may have never read this. You may have never seen this before. But I want you to see this passage that we're speaking of here in the New Testament book of Acts chapter number 8. And in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah wrote here, beginning in verse number 1, he wrote and he said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And then he says, "For he," speaking of Jesus, "for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, can you imagine that Ethiopian eunuch being in that chariot, riding through the desert, and he's reading this passage, and he's trying to figure out, who is the prophet speaking of? Who did all this? Was it some man? Was it the prophet himself? Who was it? The Bible goes on there to say, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he's cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Folks, you need to remember, all that Jesus did was not an accident for you or for me. It was not an accident. It was not simply some happenstance. It was in the perfect plan of God. This is why Jesus came at this blessed Christmas season. He came to die for your sins and for mine. And we never need to forget that fact. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God, shall see his seed. That's the Savior, Jesus. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Old Testament scriptures, this is what this man was reading. And when he looked at Peter or at Philip and he said, who is this man speaking about? Old Philip opened up his mouth, and with the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God within his soul, he preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Think about it, folks. All the Bible that we hold in our hand tonight teaches us about Jesus, the Savior of the world. And look at this, folks. The answer is given by Philip. And what was his answer to this man's question? Look at it. His answer was Jesus. Look at it. Verse 35. And he preached unto him Jesus. Amen. It wasn't Moses that he preached. It wasn't some prophet that he preached. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't the Pope. It wasn't Mary. It wasn't any other denomination of religious authenticity. It wasn't anything like that. The Bible said, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. If there is anything that our world needs in this new upcoming year, it needs to know about Jesus. Amen. And you and I need to declare that today. When the disciples were called into question about the message that they had been preaching and they had been declaring to the people over in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said that Peter stood there bold as a lion. Now remember, Peter had shirked his responsibility to stand for Christ. He had denied Christ three times before the cock crowed. He went out and wept bitterly. He hid himself from the presence of the Lord. But now he's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and God empowers him. He strengthens him to be able to preach the Word of God. And look what he said. Acts chapter 4, verses 10, 11, and 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. He preached unto them Jesus. When John wrote of Jesus at the beginning of the world, he referred to him as the Word being with God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Bible said in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, he told how that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, now I like this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John preached Jesus. Amen. And he talked about how the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God that the answer that we need today, our world needs today, can be found in this book. And this answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. But number seven, I want you to see this. Not only was the answer Jesus, but the message of the gospel was understood. You know what? God has made the gospel so simple that anyone can be saved. Anyone from child to an adult can be saved. One of the ladies in our church, Jerry Johnson, was telling me today how that she was witnessing to a dear lady. And this dear lady would not listen to her about the Lord Jesus. But this dear lady got sick, and she's on up past 95 years of age. I think she said she was 96. And Jerry went back and she called this dear lady, and she talked to her about the Lord. She answered the questions that the lady had. And while she was talking to her, she was able to present the message of the gospel. And that 96-year-old woman trusted Christ as her Savior. Thank God that the answer for man's needs is right here in this book, and it can be understood by anyone from childhood to adulthood. Amen. Look at what verse 36 said. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, the Bible teaches us here that baptism comes after salvation. Listen, I didn't wear this wedding band before I got married. I would have been lying. I'd have been making people think that I was married when I wasn't married. The wedding band went on this finger after I made the vow to my wife and after she made her vows to me. And you know what? It's a symbol, an outward symbol that I belong to somebody. Now, folks, listen, that's exactly what baptism is. And no doubt here, we don't have all the details about it, but as Philip preached unto him Jesus, and he explained to this man why those folks in Jerusalem, some 3,000 on one day, another 5,000 another day, had followed the Lord in believers' baptism. He explained to him why they did that. And as they're going down the road, that desert road, they probably passed by some area of water, maybe even the Mediterranean Sea. And this old eunuch looks out there and says, hey, wait a minute, Philip. Here's a bunch of water. What doth he keep me? What doth hinder me from being baptized? Can I get baptized now? And look what Philip said. Not only was the gospel understood, but it was believed and it was received. Look what he said here in verses 37 through 39. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And that old eunuch, bless his heart, he probably grabbed Philip around the neck and he said, Philip, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Amen. The gospel was understood. The gospel was received. It was believed. And it became the means for this man to be able to go to heaven. Listen, this man didn't go to heaven because he got baptized. He's going to heaven because he believed the gospel and he received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be listening tonight and you've never done that. My friend, tonight, you can believe the gospel. You can understand how much God loves you and wants you to be able to go to heaven. God sent His Son. That's what we've been celebrating this Christmas season. How that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for you and for me that we might believe and receive the gift. What gift? The gift of eternal life that God wanted us to have, that comes through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Amen. This dear man, he said, I do. Amen. I do believe that Christ is the Son of God. This man was excited to know that his sins had been forgiven him. And you know what? When a person gets saved, that ought to be something that excites your soul, my soul. It ought to excite us when folks come to hear, come to know Jesus as their own personal Savior. And you know what? God sent a faithful man of God out into the middle of the desert. Didn't even specifically tell him where to go. He just sent him toward the south, toward Gaza. And he said, I want you to go. This man was willing to do what God said do. Now listen to me. As we leave 2021 and we transition into 2022, we can already see how the devil is fighting to keep us out of church, out of the homes of those that need to be visited and told about the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt we'll not be able to run our buses for a Sunday or two until this thing is cleared up. And there are going to be a lot of people that may not get to hear the gospel before the first of the year. But folks, you know what? Maybe God is doing this so that he can send you or me toward the south or toward the east or toward the west or toward the north and give out the gospel to whoever we come in contact with. Hey, listen, you may have to go to the doctor and see him about this sickness. You may talk to some nurse there. Just take you a pocketbook full of gospel tracts, ladies. Take you a shirt full of gospel tracts, men, and pass them out. And man, you know what? When I was in the hospital this time last year with COVID, there was not one person I talked to at the downtown COVID center in Baltimore. Not one person, doctor, nurse, or patient, that refused a gospel tract. Why? Because there are many people there that were sick. There are many people there that were dying. And nobody wants to die and go to hell. Maybe God has allowed us to go through this for a little season to transition us to seeing how white the fields are. The fields are white in the harvest. But folks, the fact is, the laborers are few. Why don't we just make up our mind tonight that we're going to take this new year, and no matter what happens in this new year, we're going to determine in our heart that we're going to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to let somebody know what the Scriptures say so that they might come to know Jesus as their own personal Savior. Let me ask you tonight, Christian, have you gotten kind of slack on going to church because of COVID and all the other situations? Have you got kind of slack about reading the Word of God, maybe even praying and spending time alone with the Lord? Hey, listen, let this time of pestilence and frustration and sickness, let it draw you to see the need to tell folks about the Savior. Oh my goodness, tonight there are people everywhere that need to go to heaven. But how will they know unless they have somebody to go and tell them about Jesus? Oh, that you and I would be that one. You know, in the Word of God, the prophet Ezekiel wrote some of the saddest words I've ever read in the Bible. And he said this. He said how that God sought for a man among them that should come and make up the hedge and stand in the gap before God for the land. But God said this, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Don't let him look here tonight. Look for somebody to go and tell somebody about Jesus and come up and say, I can't find anybody that's willing to go. Hey, listen, let's just make up our mind that we're going to go. Let's make up our mind that we're going to do what God said do. And let's make up our mind, no matter what the situation is, in 2022, we're going to do like the prophet Isaiah said. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go with us, for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Hey, listen, will you be the Philip that God is looking for tonight that would be willing to go and tell somebody about Christ? I hope that you will. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had together tonight. And Lord, though I know that the church house is basically empty here tonight of physical persons, God, we still have the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with those that are watching through the internet, watching perhaps through Facebook or some other program on social media. And God, I ask you, Lord, tonight to speak to our hearts as we transition from the year of 2021 to the new year, 2022. Lord, none of us knows what the future holds, but God, I'm glad to know who holds the future. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'll use this message, the Word of God, to help us see the need for taking the gospel anywhere and everywhere we may go. Lord, through the tribulations and the trials and the heartaches of COVID and all the other sicknesses that are going around, Lord, help us to be able to take the message, even as these early church Christians did, to take it everywhere so that everybody might know before it's eternally too late. Lord, if there be someone tonight that's listening to the sound of my voice, I pray, dear God, as we end this service and the invitation comes online, that they will listen to our pastor as he gives this invitation and they will decide to follow Jesus. And Lord, they'll not be ashamed of it. They'll let somebody know here at church. They'll email us or call and leave a message and let us know so that we can help them to grow for the Lord. And when this COVID situation allows us to help them be in the house of God so that they might grow for you and be able to go and tell others as well. God, we pray for our pastor tonight. I pray, God, that you'll lift him up. Lift him up in spirit. I pray, God, that you'll lift him up in health. Just strengthen him, Lord, that he might be able to be back in the pulpit soon again. Be with all the others that were mentioned through the prayer request tonight and those that are dealing with death. I pray, God, for the family of Joyce Bornham. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with them as they travel back for the funeral service for Sister Joyce. God, she was a servant of the Lord. She was faithful to serve you. And God, now she's at home with you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with her dear family. And Lord, strengthen them during these days. Thank you again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to preach the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use the message for your honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.